Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
This is Uncommon Moments. Here's former Super Bowl winning NFL coach Tony Dungy and his wife Lauren sharing from their book Uncommon Marriage.
Today, over 50% of marriages end in divorce. But you can avoid being part of that statistic if you make your marriage a priority and work at it.
Lauren and I have spoken with trusted friends and pastors over the years when life has been challenging and the going tough. We've also spoken to them when times have been great and the wind was at our back. What we have found as a couple is that you have to work at your marriage to make it successful. It doesn't come automatically.
So ask yourself, are you working on your marriage? Make sure that today you tell your spouse that your marriage is a priority and that you're committed to working on it together.
Tony and Lauren Dungy, authors of Uncommon Marriage, learning about lasting love and overcoming life's obstacles together. Discover more at CoachDungy.com.
On the south side, a report of an accident on I-95 southbound, the exit at University Boulevard. Another crash in St. Johns County on I-95 southbound beyond County Road 210 approaching the World Golf Village. Traffic is backed up because of it. And congestion on the east beltway 295 southbound from Butler to Bay Meadows Road. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 76. Thursday, showers likely, high 89.
Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. It's John Beener with Inspiration 316. Thanks for joining us. Hey, we're excited to have you here. We've got Cheryl Williams here with us. We're excited to interview her and talk with her about the Healing Word Ministry that she's founded as well. She's also been associated with the Christian Healing Ministry, done teaching there, the School of Prayers. And those schools are coming up soon, aren't they, Cheryl?
Yes, we have a school actually coming up at the end of this month. However, we'll be in New York City.
Oh, be in New York City, yeah. Okay. back to what we were talking about, Times Square Church a minute ago. But anyway, Cheryl is an outstanding lady. I've heard so many outstanding things about her from so many different people that I was excited to meet her, and we're going to help each other with the whole issue of teaching about abortion with especially with women sometime soon here as we get ourselves organized around that. But so thankful and appreciative that you've taken the time to come join us here today. Thank you.
I'm so glad to be here. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
So now, were you born and raised in our city of Jacksonville, or were you in?
Actually, no. I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, okay. And raised in a small town in western Pennsylvania.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, great. That's a neat area. Pittsburgh's a great place.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of Pennsylvania is a beautiful area, really. The whole state is amazing. We just had a lady on yesterday with Flourish Now. She's in a small town near State College, you know, in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes, I know that. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, but anyway, you're going to tell us a little bit about your background. So you raised in the Pennsylvania or the west of, what was the name of the city?
It's interesting. It was a small town. It was called Muse, Pennsylvania. It was a coal mining town.
Oh, really? Okay.
Close to Washington, PA. I have met people, actually, at Christian Healing Ministries. I've met a man who grew up Washington, PA. So it kind of, I think we migrated here, a lot of us did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's more coal miners here now.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, tell us, I mean, so you were you raised in the perfect home? Your mom and dad took you to church every Sunday?
Of course I was. We were all raised in the perfect home. Thank God for Jesus. But reality, I was a child born and conceived out of wedlock.
Okay.
My mother was 17-year-old when I was conceived, and my father was employed at the same home. They were domestics at a home in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And he was married and had three children and was a deacon in the Baptist church.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. Wow. So I didn't know about him. Okay. I didn't know who he was. I was raised in my grandmother's home with she and my grandfather, and then he passed probably when I was 4 or 5 years old.
Really?
And so...
So your grandmother raised
My grandmother raised me. Okay. My mother subsequently married and had another child.
Okay.
And then she died when I was 9.
No kidding.
So, wow. Yeah, I have a lot of death in my family, which really informed... I think a lot of my belief and a lot of my wounding as I grew up as a child. Yeah, but I grew up in the Baptist church, the same one that my father was a deacon.
No kidding.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you did get to know him later on, or what?
I got to know him as friends of the family. We were friends with their families, and nobody that I knew of knew except my grandfather and my grandmother and my grandfather. My mom, who was not living with us at the time, and my father and his wife. Nobody knew until I was 20 years old.
Really?
Yes. That was very interesting how it came out.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I met a man who wanted to date me, and he happened to be related by marriage to my father.
Okay.
So it had to come out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
And you were 20, you said 22 or something?
I was 20 when all of this came out.
No kidding.
I was a student at the University of Pittsburgh.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, tell me about, so those early years, I mean, your grandmother really had a lot more to do with your raising. So your mom really wasn't that active.
She was not active. And it's really interesting. It's been very, very impactful that the one memory I have of my mom, when I was a little girl, I was in the bathtub, and she was just kind of sitting on the tub talking to me, and I don't remember what prompted her response to me, but what she said was, "Whatever your little heart desires." And it was a sweet, sweet memory that kept me going through a lot of times of rejection and abandonment, and recently really informed me as the way my Heavenly Father loved me. Just,
wow.
Yeah. So it's been an amazing journey.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me write that down again. What is it she said to you again?
Whatever your little heart desires.
Okay. Now, why was she saying that to you?
I tell you, I cannot tell you. I do not know.
Okay. So now, you, how old were you when you heard that? I mean, when she said that to you?
I was a little kid. I was teeny enough to be having to be supervised in the bathtub. So that means I was 3 or 4 or something like that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But it just stuck in your memory,
that
all those words.
I held all those years. And I learned through my time as a recipient at Christian Healing Ministries how important those places of rejection and pain were.
Yes.
And that's one of the memories the Lord used to bring healing, bring acceptance into my heart that I was accepted in the Beloved.
Wow. That's fantastic,
yeah,
really,
amazing.
When you think about it, because it was nurturing to you is what you're saying, right?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So nurturing and comforting in a culture and a time for my life that was framed by death and separation and abandonment.
Right.
So it really held me to
lot
the
of,
heart.
A lot of hurt
yes.
could be living in there, and you're saying it protected you from some of that.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you still had some of that probably, but it didn't give you the same shame level evidently, right?
It took years, really. I was very good at protecting myself and taking care of myself so that I was able to protect myself in such a way. I did such a good job of it that I went to... being a sophomore in college, and I was going through depression, and the therapist listened to my story, and he said, you had to be a good little girl all your life so you could make sure you had a place to live.
Oh, boy.
So that's how good I was. So I must have packed all of that shame and all that pain down, and it didn't come out until I went through a series of crises here in Jacksonville as a mom and a children's minister.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But let's come back to, so you were, I mean, you're talking about learning about this when you're in your 20s, about your mom and your dad. I mean, and your grandmother raised you, but you said, when did she die?
She died when I was 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you get through high school?
It was a really interesting story. It's a really interesting story that because everybody, and so that was one of my mantras, everybody that I love dies. But when my grandmother died, my maternal uncle, so that would be my mother's brother and his wife, lived in Washington, D.C., and my grandmother had requested that they would take me and adopt me into their home because she knew that Howard University was there, and she wanted to be sure I got an education.
All right.
Well, yeah, good. So I did.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, so you were adopted then by your uncle?
My maternal uncle and his wife.
Okay. Yes. And so, but I thought you said you went to Pittsburgh University.
I did. I graduated from the University of Pittsburgh because I was attracted to this man that I met at a party when I was visiting Pittsburgh one time.
Okay.
And so I came back to the university. Yeah, I transferred and finished my degree there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, I mean, what were the high school years like and all?
My high school years were very, very interesting because I started in Western Pennsylvania, and I was an unusual student because I was very bright. I was always in like the highest level classes, and I was the only little brown skin girl in the classes. When I went to transfer to Washington, D.C., the whole school was brown, and I was in culture shock.
Yeah, right. What happened to those white kids?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
So I lived in, I lived several years just in awe of, okay, well, this is where I was and this is where I am and how do I do this? There was a lot of self kind of searching and fear and all the adolescent stuff compounded by the culture shock. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's an amazing story. I didn't realize all this.
Yeah.
So God has a plan, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He so does. It's amazing. It's very, very amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So growing up, and you then are in Washington, did you get to Howard University then?
I did. I went 2 years to Howard University. Okay. And as I said, I was back in Pennsylvania visiting somebody, and we were at a party, and I met this guy, and it was all of a sudden, he was in love with me, and I thought he was just the bee's knees, but he was older than I was.
Okay.
So he was already a school teacher, and that was my aspiration, so I just went to University of Pittsburgh. I transferred my credits. I finished there as an education major.
Did he ask you to come then and all that, or what?
It all came out as I was finishing, school and doing all that. He would come to Washington and all that sort of thing, and we would go back and forth.
Yeah. So dating back and forth.
Yeah, we were dating long distance.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then you made the dating closer then?
Yes.
Did you get married or whatever?
We eventually got married, but we didn't marry before I had conceived a child.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's the father of your child. How many children do you have now, by the way?
My husband and I have 4 children together. My husband currently has had one son before we met, and then we had 3 children together.
Okay.
The child that was conceived out of wedlock was my first abortion.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll talk about that a little bit later, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, through all this journey, how did you come to know the Lord then? How did that work out?
I prayed the sinner's prayer at the Baptist church when I was probably 9. Okay. It was before my mother died.
Okay.
And so she was buried right out of that church. And I remember people telling me that God takes the sweetest flowers for his garden. And that's why he took my mother.
Okay.
So it was a really, really hard place.
Yeah, right.
To trust God.
Yeah, right.
At that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God, well, don't take my flowers, Lord. I mean, golly, they smell so good. I mean, flowers are beautiful.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a long journey. In fact, it was at Christian Healing Ministries where I received healing from my image of God in that place. In fact, that's one of the talks I give at the school now.
Yeah,
Okay. And I tell people when I learned there that God didn't take your mother, God didn't take your loved one.
Right.
Death took your loved one, and Jesus took your loved one from death to life.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So anyway, in this journey of, you said it was early years through that Baptist church that you gave your life to Christ.
Yes.
But were you always on track? So you were in the Word every day as a young girl and doing all the right things?
You remember I was a teenager, right?
Well, that's why I'm asking the question.
I explored a lot of things, obviously.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I came to live with my adopted family in Washington. They were all Catholics. And I was permitted to go to a Southern Baptist church.
Okay.
I walked there voluntarily on Sunday by myself.
Really?
So I kept going to the fellowship. Again, I just didn't feel a part of the fellowship because we lived in a neighborhood where that Southern Baptist church was, and I was the odd person out again.
Okay.
In fact, I went to that pastor for counseling when I was going through that sort of depression when I was in college.
Uh-huh.
And he says to me, he sat back in the chair and he says, "Cheryl, you know, it always gets darkest before it gets black." So there was another place. He was making a joke, and I was just stunted in my growth as a Christian. Like, what kind of God would leave me in a place like this?
Yeah.
So I continued to, you know, go out and date and go to parties and explore and do all the kinds of things young people do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understood what he meant by that. You said he was being facetious or he was teasing or something.
I think so.
Yeah.
However, my heart was really hurt that a man that was, I thought, there to give me counsel and encouragement found it laughable and even appropriate to make a joke like that in my place of pain and need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank God that whatever your little heart desires is what your mom said. So you were dealing with both of those at the same time, I guess, or whatever. But I mean, I have said to people, you know, sometimes it gets darker before it gets light. Have you heard that expression or not?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, in other words, God will let us suffer or let us face some pain and agony, you know, to be able to cement when we do come to him, it makes us stronger.
Absolutely.
You know, to pursue him and to hang tight, you know, knowing that it's not going to be a perfect road.
Yeah. I didn't get that encouragement, and I don't know if I was just so in pain by that statement that I cut off any encouragement he gave me.
Uh-huh.
But I just remember leaving there very discouraged and very hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a situation once where I had come to Christ and at this particular church, and this pastor really enthused about my testimony because it wasn't your ordinary testimony. And so he asked me to speak at this retreat, which I did. And some of the other people there didn't like my story, but he wanted to introduce me to the guy who headed up the church in this whole area. And so I went with him, and we entered. And so he told this head of the church, you know, about me. And then I told him a little bit about my testimony. And I said, "Look, all I want to do is serve the Lord. I want to help the church any way that I can," you know, and told him that I was born again and that I wanted to really be a good servant. And he said, "Don't worry about it. You'll get over that."
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's what I say. Oh, my
God.
I was insulted by
yes,
that.
Yes, of course.
And I still can't figure out why he would be that naive to say such a thing.
Yeah.
Even when he maybe didn't believe that, you know, being born again was important or whatever it is, but it blew me away. And so disappointing. And those are the kind of things that people can hold on to the offenses
Absolutely.
Of that, right? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So we'll get into that more too. But so anyway, so you were married at what age? And
I was probably 21.
Okay.
I was very young when I married. And we probably suffered a lot because of the pain of the abortion that we didn't deal with.
Mm-hmm.
However, felt as if in the 3 years that I was married to this man, I matured quite a bit.
Yeah, okay.
And he did not. He was very dependent and connected to his mother and to his car.
Wow, to his car and his mom.
Yeah. So I really...
Didn't need a wife then,
I guess. Exactly. I was third on the list, so I decided I wasn't going to be third, and that's when we divorced.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. And then how'd you meet your present husband?
Interesting journey for me. I was a school teacher, as I told you.
Yeah.
And I was a school teacher in Pittsburgh, just was in a rut. And it was at that time when it was just wonderful in Atlanta and Black is Beautiful and all that sort of thing. And I started looking for employment in Atlanta. I thought if I could just get to this Mecca, and I got hired by a car company, Ford Motor Company, to be a liaison to their dealers here in the city of Jacksonville.
Really?
It was a traveling job.
No kidding.
But the first part of the training, I lived here in Jacksonville, and I met my husband on a tennis court.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Tennis court. That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So both of you are good tennis players or what?
I was unusually, my first husband was a gym teacher, so he taught me how to play.
Oh, okay.
It was very unusual for an African-American woman to be as well trained as I was. Uh-huh. So it was just an anomaly when I got on the court that I could play as well as I did. The other women were not. So I was with three men on the court.
Okay.
And so it was very unusual. And my husband was there, and he was my partner.
Uh-huh.
So we won, and he asked me if I would want to go and have lunch with him. And I told him I don't date married men because there was a little boy running around there calling him daddy. And the boy was going up back and forth to this woman sitting on the hood of the car. So I thought, what is he doing?
Yeah, right.
He pulled out his divorce papers. He carried them in his car.
No kidding. That is amazing.
It was his neighbor watching his son. He had his son for the weekend. He had custody of his son.
That is amazing.
So that's how we met.
Yeah. That's a pretty neat story. That's you have great testimony, really. This is exciting. So you got married. Then how long after that, then after you met?
How long after that? It was a very short courtship.
Okay. But you still played tennis, too?
We played tennis. In fact, I conceived a child before we were married.
Okay.
And that's when I gave my life to the Lord, because I was working this job that required all my attention and everything.
And still with Ford Motor Company?
Yeah, it was with Ford Motor Company, and the nausea was just making me sick. So I'm lying in bed one night, and I said, Lord, if you're real, if you'll just take the sickness away from me, I'll give my life to you.
Wow.
And he did, and I did.
How about that? That's a deal, huh?
It was a good deal.
Yeah. You're a good deal maker, right?
He is.
Yeah, he is. He's pretty smart.
He knows what he is. He knows how to do it.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, that's great. So then, but you got married and you had three other kids since?
We've had three. I had a son and two daughters. So we have a total of two boys and two girls.
Okay, great. Good. So how long were you with Ford Motor Company then?
Probably not much longer than that, because... You know, I enjoyed being a mother. I enjoyed my position at Ford Motor Company, but it was a traveling job. I would leave on Monday and come back on Friday. And my son was growing up without me. My husband would pick him up and take him to daycare every day. And it was really, really difficult.
Sure, yeah.
So shortly after that, I'd say within a year, I transitioned out of there.
So and you stayed home and be a mom?
I did intentionally stay home, but that's what I ended up doing, because the cost of daycare and everything were outweighing the income I could make given the daycare and all of those things. So I ended up being a stay-at-home mom.
Well, good. That's a good thing. You know, it's the best thing, really.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of people don't even weigh the cost. You know what I mean?
No.
But anyway, so Your husband has been employed, or what was he doing during that time?
He was a car painter at a local dealership.
Okay.
And we were in a place where we needed more income.
Okay.
So I told the Lord if I could just make the mortgage payment, I would be happy.
Uh-huh.
And I got a position at the local community college teaching math.
Okay.
So that worked out perfectly. It paid the mortgage payment, and everything else was fine.
Okay.
So we did that for several years, and I was children's minister at the local Baptist church there, and eventually it turned into a full-time position. So that began my ministry.
That's great.
Children and youth minister there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was good. God's just sort of been guiding you along, really, from
it was
one
amazing
little obstacle to another.
When you look back to
yeah
see how he ordained
right
my
that's
life.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's just opening doors and causing other things to happen to put you in the right position.
Absolutely.
To minister to the most people. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you, so you talked a little bit about Christian Healing Ministry, but when you made a deal with the Lord.
Yes.
About if you work this out, Lord, I'll stay home. Okay. Okay. If you work this out, I'll be able to teach, you know what I mean, and still be able to have the money to fit our needs family wise okay. But and so you had made a couple of commitments to the Lord that he was holding you accountable to.
Yeah.
And now, but you mentioned the Christian Healing. Come back to that in terms of how that inspired you.
Yes. Yes. There was a time when I was working at the church there. It was a Baptist church. And I didn't realize, you know, how you begin to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling.
Yeah.
I was, I didn't realize I was looking for a father in the person who was the pastor of the church. And he was my employer. He wasn't my father.
Okay, yeah.
And so there were expectations there that were not met. And so, and I was a workaholic because I was always trying to pay my way and all those sorts of things.
Okay.
So that's when I ended up having to go to Christian Healing Ministries to receive ministry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went and made an appointment, or how did
I
that
made
work
an appointment, and I made several appointments. I would go there every 2 weeks, and there were two prayer ministers.
So what year would this have been?
What year would it have been? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You're asking me a really hard question. Probably
10 years ago, 20 years ago?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe 25 or 30 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Francis McDowell and Judith had formed or operating here in Jackson.
Yes, they had already formed the ministry.
So you had learned about them through your church? Or
I learned about them through a Spirit-filled friend of mine. And so we were sort of a Spirit-filled group in that church of Baptist people that, you know, sort of operated.
All right.
Under radar.
Under the radar. I was going to say that. Yeah, incognito or something.
Exactly.
Like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great story. What a great testimony. We're here with Cheryl Williams. She is the founder of the Healing Word Ministry. Obviously, one of the teachers of the Christian Healing Ministry, their School of Prayer, which is coming up here at the end of the month, but unfortunately it's in New York City. But there's some other ones coming up too.
We'll talk.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah. But again, this is John Beener with Inspiration 316. We've got the delightful Cheryl Williams with us. You don't want to miss listening to her and her fascinating story. And she's going to tell lots of testimony about what's happened for people that she's been able to pray with and the healings that have taken place. It's about love, forgiveness, kindness, joy, peace that surpasses all understanding. Isn't that right, Cheryl?
It surely is.
Okay, so hang in there with us. We'll be back shortly. This is Laura Daigle singing, How Could It Be That a God Could Love Us That Much? We'll be back shortly after the break.
Right now, we're accident-free, but there's a disabled vehicle on I-10 westbound at the exit at Chaffee Road to be aware of. Another disabled vehicle on the West Beltway southbound just before I-95. That's blocking the right lane. And heavy congestion on the West Beltway 295 southbound from Pritchard Road to about New Kings Road. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 76. Thursday, showers likely, high 89.
You plead my cause, you rise.
Welcome back. This is John Beaner with Inspiration 316. We're excited you've joined us. We've got a special guest here today, Cheryl Williams, who's the founder of the Healing Word Ministry. Powerful story of her life, raised in Pennsylvania and even in Washington, D.C., and has had incredible, wonderful experiences with her children and even her mom, who unfortunately never raised her. So that was a tough circumstance. And I guess your actual father, is he still around or not?
No, he's gone on to be with the Lord. Okay. Several years later.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get to know him as your father too?
I did, as an adult, and my siblings. He had three children. Yeah. So I have two sisters and a brother. One sister has gone on to be with the Lord, but we, my sister and brother, were together recently for her 75th birthday.
Well, fantastic.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Great. Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. So you were telling us earlier, because we talked about your life, the first part of the segment here, and the ups and downs and the things that went good and things that could have improved upon and all that kind of stuff. But God was in the midst of all of that. And so you made a couple of deals with the Lord. You know, if you will do this, you'll serve him. Okay. And he came through both times. Okay?
Yeah.
So you're still in the midst of serving him. But you had tell us about the monumental experience where you felt like you needed to go to the Christian Healing Ministry.
Yes, as I was sharing, I was looking for a father and not really aware of how important the father that Jesus died to give us was to my heart, and how important that relationship was. Mm-hmm. So in the process, I kind of kept looking and looking and trying to perform and get things done so that I could get the approval from the local pastor.
Okay.
And it wasn't forthcoming because it really wasn't his job. Uh-huh. So my friend understood I was in trouble. I was functioning as a children's minister, and we were birthing and doing all sorts of great things, growing the ministry. It was amazing what God was doing there. Mm-hmm. So probably there was part of that was probably just attack from bringing children into relationship with the Lord. But anyway, I went to Christian Healing Ministries, and I learned after teaching to children that Jesus loves me. I learned that Jesus loved me personally.
He also loved you too.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. And so I went through several weeks of healing, conception to birth and generational healing and all sorts of inner healing, healing of memories. So I was so excited about it that I asked.
Now, what, you went through all this in one time? Or?
No, these
just
prayer
sort of
ministers
the door
were wonderful. They saw me for every 2 weeks for some months.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so then it was, so beautiful. I asked, well, how do you do this? And that's where the schools came in. So I took the schools, and then I asked my pastor if I could bring them to the church, and they told me yes. So I started teaching healing at the Baptist church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, now, Francis and Judith McNutt, you got to know them pretty well, right?
Were key figures in my healing, not only because the teaching there was so sound, they personally were so reachable. I had never met people that you could actually touch and talk to that were so learned and experienced in these things. Mm-hmm. So eventually it worked out that I became a prayer minister there. Mm-hmm. And after my time at the church, I was able to come on part-time as a part-time employee and then later on as a full-time employee. So that's when I really got to know Francis and Judith, and I was joking with them the other day that they taught and gave me grace in a way that I couldn't have learned it any other place because of all the rules and everything that I learned how to follow in the church, all the legalism.
Yeah,
and
right.
So I was able to really, really come into a wonderful, close relationship with Jesus, Holy Spirit,
amen,
and our Heavenly Father.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah. He loves you and you love him.
Oh,
right?
My gosh. We were in a real, real relationship then. It was really on at that point.
Now, what did your Baptist pastor think about, here's a Catholic priest who stepped away from the priesthood anyway to found the Christian Healing Ministry, and he wrote this book, you know, all about healing. But what did he think about this? And of course, you know, there's a deeper, typically the Baptist church is not into the speaking in tongues or into the fullness of what the Holy Spirit might offer. Is that true or not?
That's true. And absolutely at that time, I think it was the relationship that I had with him. He trusted me, and I gave him the booklet, and he gave me permission to teach. Uh-huh. So when we came to the Holy Spirit part, we just kind of did that really kind of quietly in the teaching, and we didn't emphasize anything different. And that's one of the things that Francis and Judith emphasized to us, is as teachers, we don't do anything outside of what our leadership would approve. So we were very careful with that. And the Lord just started healing people in the class. It was phenomenal. Okay. and the ministry really stayed very small. We never really, while I was there, it didn't really come out until I left the church.
Okay.
And so another younger pastor came on, and then, they began doing spirit-filled things and speaking in tongues and all those sorts of things, but it was after I left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now, you had some difficulty, that's not the right word, you had some frustration with your pastor not recognizing you for the children's ministry you were doing it so well, and probably even give you the praise or the recognition that you would appreciate for a job well done, right?
It was just a difficult time as a woman in ministry to go very far. I recognized that I had gifts and abilities, and I wanted to be able to preach, and it just wasn't the place for me to exercise all those gifts.
After going to Christian Healing, did you continue with the children's ministry as well?
I continued with the children and youth ministry for a good little period of time, and at that point, there were some other things going on, I didn't feel safe to continue in leadership position at that time, given some things that I had observed in the church, so I ended my tenure there.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the Christian Healing Ministry, because you've been a teacher there for how many years now?
Oh, my gosh. I would say, I don't know, 10 years maybe? I should have looked it up. I don't know how long it's been.
Now, the Christian Healing Ministry is a worldwide organization. Not many people know that. Have you taught... You've taught in Vermont, and then I guess, are you going to be teaching in New York City too?
Yes, I'll be teaching in New York City.
Okay. They've actually done events in Ireland, haven't they?
Yes. They really took some of the board members there. That was probably before I came on.
Okay.
And they have some really funny stories about those trips. But yes, they had some exciting times there.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So tell us, you're saying that you personally having been raised in a tough circumstance, you know, your mom not knowing who your dad was until you're 20 years old, and then your mom leaves you at 5 years old. Is that what it was? You had your grandmother that really raised you.
She was in the picture, but she just wasn't living there because she was a domestic that was living in the home where she was working. She would come back and forth and see me. And when she married, they bought a home, and they invited me to the home to see if I wanted to live there, and it wasn't home to me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you stayed with your grandmother.
I stayed with my grandmother.
But anyway, all of that, those kind of things could put a lot of doubts on a young girl, you know what I mean, in terms of where's my love coming from, and who really loves me, who cares about me, and all these kind of, and this is perfect things for the enemy to come in and say, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're never going to make it, nobody's going to love you, why don't you quit?
Yeah.
You know, just commit suicide and get it over with, right?
My mantra was, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So, I had a really hard time, but I knew how to keep myself, safe and employed and housed by performance. Okay. I was really smart and I knew how to do good things.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so my performance.
You use your
kept
personality and your charms and your ability to get things done.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can do it. You know, that turned out to be my biggest enemy, but I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. So talk about of the things that you've been teaching on in the Christian Healing Ministry. What are three things that maybe are the most significant in terms of rewards or influence on people's hearts or changing people's lives? What would be the three things that you would talk about there?
You know, identity, I say first.
Identity.
First and foremost, our identity in Christ has been first and foremost the important thing. Secondly, our image of God.
Okay.
And lastly, you've been talking about it, and that's forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
And to me, forgiveness and our identity in Him kind of go together because He purchased that place for us in the heart of God the Father so that we can be forgiven and forgive.
Okay.
So those are the three things that I feel that I've taught are the most important.
Yeah. So identity, image, and forgiveness. Is that what you're saying?
Image of God. Yes, okay. Healing our image of
so
God.
So you're saying, let's go back to identity again.
Yes.
Talk through that a little bit more and explain what does that mean to someone who's listening.
To someone who's listening, I would say that we grow up, as I did, performing to find the best way to make ourselves safe and keep ourselves accepted.
Okay.
So we grow up and we manufacture a false personhood, a false self, so we know how to perform and to dance and to sing and to get it right. I found out that, you know, I was really dependent on getting all A's, and people that I meet find, you know, they come to us with brokenness in terms of their relationship with God because they couldn't get what they needed from their earthly parents. Mm-hmm. So there's all this place where I've done this and I've performed that and I make so much money and I have six cars and all those things that I thought at first that was a safe place to be, but I found out my true person is really in Jesus Christ, my true self.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So,
you know, that what you just said is excellent. I'm just seeing the depth of what you just said. Performance, you know what I mean? I see that particularly in the business community where I work the most, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's all about how much money are you making, you know what I mean? I mean, the world says it's about that your goal should be to achieve fame, notoriety, success, you know, material things,
absolutely,
all that kind of stuff. Okay, so that's what you're saying. That's performance level. You even lived in that world as a young child. Okay,
yeah,
I'll keep performing, get the best grades I can, charm as many people as I can, get things done right. What the incredible thing about business is that, and I've taught about this, is that, you know, we're to be in the world, but not of the world.
Yes.
We still have to live in the world. So there is a level of performance that we all have to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We gotta toe the line. We got to carry our baggage or get things done. You know what I mean? And so so identity, but you're saying it's a false god, really, is what you're saying.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very false god. And it usually gets built as we work to please those people that are in authority over us.
Mm-hmm.
We work to get the approval, and that's always what we need, the love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's the biggest need we have is love.
You're right.
And, know, we love only because God loved us first.
Amen.
So it takes a few steps in life to be aware that He's the best lover we'll
Amen.
Ever have. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's lousy without Him, actually.
It is so lousy without Him.
I mean, I didn't, at first, 40 years of my life, I was living in performance, didn't know anything. My mom and dad said, hey, old, you know, that I said, how do you get to heaven anyway? And they said, oh, just be the good person. That's all you have to do. And I said, well, how do I love our neighbors? We don't even know our neighbors. You just say hi to them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I taught my kids. They memorize scripture.
Uh-huh.
And because they had it memorized and they could quote it for me, I thought that was good enough.
Yeah.
But they didn't know.
But it didn't live in their hearts.
Exactly.
The Holy Spirit
wasn't
active
there. Because I was charging them with performing, you see.
Right.
You know, recite the scripture.
Right.
Clean your room, you know.
Right. Still hear my mom saying, make your bed.
See?
Make your bed.
There it is.
My wife said to me many times, you know, you're really good at making the bed. I said, yeah, well, it's been ingrained in me. Yeah, sorry.
She's lucky she has you.
Yeah, right. And I never was allowed to throw my clothes around either, so I was to hang them up. But anyway, so the first thing is identity in the goal is to be identity, have identity in Christ, not in the world, not in just performance, not in about just getting
Absolutely.
Everything accomplished that the world is calling us to do.
Absolutely.
And in a business, you still have to, even in aspects of being a family and even in a nation, we still have to do certain things.
Of course.
To cooperate and get along with each other to be successful. But image-wise, tell us more about what you meant by image, which that was, you said the image of God. Is that what you're saying? Explain
yes,
that again for us.
For years, I felt like God was this distant person who was in charge and shaking his finger at me and was going to get me if I did something wrong.
Okay.
So we lived in an adversarial relationship.
Okay.
And for a lot of people, that happens as a result of the way they're brought up, so that, you know, you learn the commandments and you know all the rules, and so you try to keep the rules, and then you hide. And you lie when you fail to be perfect.
Okay.
So then you're in trouble. And, you know, the last one you want to go to is that angry God.
Okay.
So it's that image of God's going to get me, or he's going to kill me, or he's going to punish me, mm-hmm. that keeps us from learning the love of the one true and living God who wants to be first right. in our lives and the one that we run to when we end up in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. You had that experience of people in your life dying early.
Absolutely.
And so I guess that could be part of this whole thing about, you know, God will perform, right?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, you know, the first thing I was told was that God took my mother.
Uh-huh.
And then secondly, I was afraid of death because so many people I love died, and I even began to wonder, well, is it my love that's killing them? Everybody I love dies. That was an inner vibe.
So stop loving people.
Exactly. I decided when I was here in Jacksonville at the Baptist Church, I was drawn to senior citizens as a young woman, and I would just do all these things. I got close to, I think it was three couples. And, of course, what happened, eventually they all transitioned. So I said, I'm not loving old people anymore because they just die. So those are the statements, the kind of inner vows that we make that separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. So a false image is a problem, you're saying, for probably everybody to some extent, right?
It's been amazing to find how many places where people have limited God because of their training. Yes, it's been a real big problem.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. It's wonderfully liberating to see their hearts to open by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That they can know that they're created in his image and in his likeness.
Yeah. It's amazing you're bringing that up because I was just thinking about a young lady that I've had a chance to talk with quite a bit recently. She was born in Russia, you know what I mean, in difficult circumstances, even had witchcraft evidently during her birth.
Mm-hmm.
But she came to Christ, I think it was 2 years ago or 2 or 3 years ago. But she's telling me that she's in love with God and she's in love with this certain music, but she doesn't like that music because that can't be of God. You know what I mean? Okay. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, how? And I was thinking to myself, I need to have her write down on a piece of paper her image of God. You know what I mean? In terms of, or draw it out for me, because there's a few places where I think she's missing it. You know, the thing that I see is in people is that some of them have kind of drawn lines where that God doesn't, God doesn't like that or doesn't want me to be involved with that or whatever it might be. And so then they limit who God is. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe that's one of the things we use in prayer ministry. Sometimes if we run into a person that is having some difficulty, we'll ask them to draw a stick figure, a picture of themselves and God. And it's amazing how telling that is.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. But the idea is that we limit God, who is limitless.
Okay.
So the more we get in contact with the fact that his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, then we begin to soften and see how he loves us in ways we don't even love ourselves.
That's great. So we're interviewing Cheryl Williams, and her ministry is Healing Word Ministry. Ooh. And she is a teacher at the Christian Healing Ministry as well, the School of Prayer Ministry. I recommend that to anybody. I have been in some of those sessions, and I could just sit there for days on end listening to the teachings, the testimony, because it's so indwelling. You know, it's so enjoyable to get a deeper understanding of how God works in people. So you said the third area was about forgiveness. Let's talk about that for a moment. How has that interplayed specifically in your life and or even the lives of people, stories of people you've met, people you've been able to pray for and teach?
It's that release from the place of pain and anger, bitterness and resentment that opens us to the healing power of Jesus. And so it's a place of when we walk in unforgiveness, we're setting up our own boundaries. We're setting up our own limits to how we will allow things to affect us or not. Mm-hmm. And right then again, when we start drawing those lines, we're separating ourselves from the love of God and from his commandment to forgive.
Yeah.
So we can receive that also.
That is so good.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you to comment on it, because I used this a couple of days ago in a show that we did on reconciliation, forgiveness. And T.S. Roberts is one that's been teaching me. He says God is saying to him that people are not taking forgiveness seriously enough. They take the Eucharist, you know, and they don't take it seriously. And here he gave us this from John, I think it's 2:22, but it says where Christ comes back to the disciples is after he's resurrected, and he comes and sees the disciples and says, "Peace be unto you, the Father has sent me." Let's see. "And I breathe unto you the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, you start to read that in the depth of it all. In other words, I'm really being stupid not to forgive someone else, you know what I mean, of their sins, because that means I'm actually carrying their sin. I'm part of their stupidity, their obligation, their guilt, shame that comes along with that. That's what the enemy will use to beat them up with.
Absolutely.
Talk more about that. How does that make sense to you, or how does that connect with your thinking?
Well, it feels as if we've made ourselves gods. Uh-huh. If we're going to hold on to that sin, and exactly what you're saying, the enemy uses it to beat us up.
Yeah.
The whole time we're carrying that weight, you see, it says to lay aside every weight of sin, because it does trap us.
Mm-hmm.
So we are stuck, and we've seen that so much at Christian Healing Ministries with people with heart disease and hypertension, and they are just so, once they see and receive the Holy Spirit and allow themselves to release that person, it's as if they're carrying the weight of that person with them.
Wow.
And many times the person, I'm very close to a person who lived with unforgiveness. He carried this person with him for a long time, and it actually changed his persona, because every time you'd mention the person's name, he would have a negative response.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happens to us. And the other person, I knew for a fact, the other person was gone on just fine and free. And this person was trapped by carrying the weight of that sin. And so that's the kind of thing that happens to us. The enemy just takes it and holds it and makes, you know, a place of bitterness or sickness or whatever, arthritis you see and all sorts of things that can be connected to that unforgiveness and carrying that weight of that person. When you're not God, it's not for you to carry.
Right. He already died for
he
it.
He already released them.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so powerful. It's a deeper thought than I think most pastors are teaching on. I mean, I don't ever think I've ever heard this in a church, you know, the depth of this.
I was in a church recently. It was a Baptist church, as a matter of fact. I visited, and they did communion, and they talked about this scripture in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 11:30, where they talk about discerning the blood and body of Christ.
Really? So they did get in the depth of it, or they didn't?
They simply mentioned that for this reason, they read the scripture, for this reason many of you are sick and weak and go to an early grave, because you didn't pay attention to the value.
That's good. So they really did drive it home. That's really good. Because again, I talked about even Steve Jobs, I think, dying of cancer because he could never forgive his father, never even talked to his father, knew who he was, but felt abandoned all his life. And so it drove him to perform, like you talked about. Yeah. The world says you got to perform, right? To be approved, right?
Yeah.
And so, but as Christians, we're to be in the world, but not of the world. We're to be of Jesus Christ. He's the one that birthed us. He's the one that's going to get us to heaven. He's going to want to spend eternity with him. So anyway, thanks for joining John Beener with Cheryl Williams. Fabulous ministry that she has. Christian Healing Ministry course is coming up. Don't miss it. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 Show with John Beener. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.
Thank you for joining us for Inspiration 316 and John Beener. Coming up next, it's First Baptist Church of downtown Jacksonville, here on listener-supported WTRJ, The Truth.
How do you feel your life? What makes your life really worthwhile? Is it family? Maybe getting away from family. Partying? Getting more stuff? It takes more than this to give life meaning. It takes true grace for real life. Discover living a life of true grace and joy by joining us every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for Grace Matters, right here on The Truth, brought to you by the Downtown First Presbyterian Church on the corner of Ocean and Monroe.
Here's what's coming up on I Work For Him. This week on I Work For Him, Martha and I head home for some much-needed rest and reconnection in our home state of Minnesota. All week long, we'll be bringing you interviews from all over the state, highlighting what God's doing in the land of 10,000 lakes and a trillion mosquitoes. Connecting what we hear on Sunday with what we do in our 9-to-5, because the eternity of millions is at stake. Tune into I Work For Him every weekday at 2 p.m. on The Truth at FM 91.7 and Talk 100.3 FM at 5 p.m. or anytime access at iworkforhim.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
This is Live Empowered with Kelly Latta, a daily encouragement to find life and love in the pursuit of Jesus. Here's Kelly.
God wants our hearts and our actions to align with His. Despite this, we often say one thing only to do another. After Gideon's victory over the Midianite army, Israel wanted to make him their king. But Gideon told them, "I won't rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." At first, Gideon's response seemed quite humble, but soon he demanded a huge portion of the battle plunder all for himself. He may not have accepted the title of king, but he sure intended to live like one. And after that, the people he led spiraled into idolatry. Psalm 51:6 says, "Surely you desire truth in the inner parts." God wants to change us from the inside out.
You can watch free teaching videos from Kelly's Bible study, Tested by Fire, when you visit KellyLottaMinistries.org.
Still no active accidents, but we do have congestion on the West Beltway, 295 northbound at Old St. Augustine Road. That's backed up to about I-95. Also congestion on the West Beltway southbound at 295 from beyond New Kings Road to Pritchard Road. Also slow on the East Beltway, 295 southbound from